Obviously, we're very proud of our high school and our kids. So the city has done a great job. Again, I want to welcome everyone and thank you for being here. It always makes our night, our job easier when we have large crowds that can disseminate the real information and the facts and help us discount the urban myths that plague us at times. I'd like to make a few introductions before we get started. Is Matt Erickson here? Hey, Matt. Matt is a Southwest Region engineer. He is our go-to guy with ALDOT now. And I really want to give him, Director Cooper was going to be here tonight, but I think the governor called a cabinet meeting this afternoon and he would have to cancel. But our road project was on hold because Restore Act money from the federal government fell through. And Mr. Cooper, Matt, and others went and found the money in Montgomery so that we would stay on schedule with the five laning of Canal Road. And in the past, that just doesn't happen. That's a big deal. Thank y'all, Matt. Thank Mr. Cooper for it. Mr. Tyler, Baldwin County School System Superintendent, is on his way. We have some principals here tonight. We all stand up for us. Principal Erica McCoy. That's Dr. Erica McCoy. I'm sorry. Ryan Moss, our elementary school principal. Wes Pouncey, our assistant principal. Is Dr. Robbie here? And Dr. Robbie Smith, our middle school principal. Thank y'all. Any teachers here? Any faculty? Anybody from our new schools? Please stand. Please stand. I'm sorry. I want to recognize you. Thank you. We had a lot going on tonight with volleyball, football practice, so there's a lot happening where the kids and teachers are tied up. So before we get started, where you at? Oh, there. Matthew Trist, I'm sorry, you're new. You don't look familiar to me. But Matthew Trist is a new field representative for Bradley Byrne. And Congressman Byrne has been a real friend to us and a big help in anything we need. And I'm sure Matthew will follow in Daniel's footsteps and do a great job. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. Do you want me to give him your cell phone? Okay, I won't put you on the spot then. All right, before we get started, there's the obligatory disclaimer. Any opinions offered by the mayor do not necessarily represent the council or anybody else for that matter, but y'all are pretty used to that. I do apologize. This presentation is longer than usual, but we have so much going on. We have so many new people in town. We felt like we really needed to put it all out there and hopefully to facilitate a great discussion afterwards. But I do want you to know this. This council and this mayor's sole purpose is to protect and preserve our community and our quality of life so that they all want to stay here and live here, even with all the frustrations of a tourist city and a tourist destination. But it's very important to us because very few resort towns have the active community and just the quality community that we have. So that's our sole purpose, is to protect that. All right. Without further ado, fake book. This is my biggest nightmare. Please do not go to fake book for your information. If you see something there, please call me. Has anybody in this room got my cell phone number now? Well, half of you got it. So my point being is, there it is. Please call me if you see something on Facebook that's disturbing or confusing, or you're just wondering what in the world were they thinking to do something that stupid, because the odds are we didn't. So please call me, and we'll sort it out. This is a history over the last 5 or 6 years of revenues versus expenses. This is the importance of this is for you to see we tried to keep an even keel ratio between our expenses and our revenues. We just because revenues went up did not necessarily give us license to bloat our city government and runaway spending. Now, we're very blessed that our revenues are doing very well. We have a AA1 bond rating. The second next to a AAA, which it doesn't get much better than that. AA plus with Standard & Poor's. We have $30 million in reserves, which we call the untouchable. That's disaster relief, things of the disaster fund, whatever. We have $25 million right now for discretionary spending that will be pretty much eaten up very quickly with capital projects that we have to do, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. This is a little bit of what we've got going on and have to get done. We got to have a new fire station, one in five, and a new station on Ono. Now, Ono will pay for that, but we're going to be involved in the construction and manning. Station one behind City Hall is old. It's structurally challenged. So we have got to rebuild that fire station. We've got to build new administrative offices, and we're going to build dormitories behind for our resident fire program and our wildlife interns. Justice Center was built when we had about 20, 25 officers. We now have close to 60. We've got to expand it, so we're going to build in the parking lot and expand the move the courthouse or the courtroom out front and take the existing courtroom and petition it off and make it usable for our police department. City Hall upgrades and renovations, which means we're just going to get rid of that nasty carpet and some other things and paint it. Citywide security measures. There's nothing more important than us being protected and safe as a community. We have to relocate Public Works, which is a major operation. We're moving it over north of the canal on 20 acres that we purchased. New Coastal Resources Office. Auburn University will be bringing in the Gulf Coast Research Center to our marina site, along with the University of South Alabama and Alabama's partners. And I'm going to go into some of these a little bit further. Additional ambulance. We've bought two, which has been a godsend. It has really helped increase and improve our times, response times, and getting someone who's having an event to a physician. We're going to work with Gulf Shores and South Baldwin to have a freestanding emergency room within 2 years on County Road 4 and 59, which is centrally located. Additional rec center gymnasium that's underway. We've outgrown what we have. A new separate adult gym. Designs are being finalized. Hopefully we'll start that construction in January. Tennis courts improvements. Our tennis courts are defunct. They have no crown. They hold water. They're being uprooted. They've got to be replaced. The difficult decision there is, do we move them? Do we readjust that campus to get a more efficient use? We're working on getting fiber to all residential homes. We're going to make a $100,000 block grant to the library. We've got a new kids' park coming. The one we have now is 20 years old or close and has to be replaced. Future goal of a kids' splash pad at the same location. We're trying to get a shooting range up and running on the 80 acres we bought up above Columbia Southern. We got more dredging at the Perdido Pass coming because they did not finish earlier. We have a wildlife rehab facility coming, and it goes on and on and on. I think we got 24 building projects on the book right now, some big, some small, but it takes a lot of attention. I think you guys know we have those two new ambulances. We were having problems in the summer getting an ambulance to a call because of traffic. Now we can be there in just a very short period of time. With the new freestanding emergency room, our goal is from the time you dial 911, if you're having a heart attack, stroke, whatever, in less than 15 minutes, you're on a gurney with an emergency room doctor being looked at. So we all know health care is probably one of the prime, if not the most important thing in this community that we're all concerned about, and we are committed to trying to do everything we can to improve that. We bought two new fire trucks, and we are partnered now with USA Health. Resident emergency room physicians will be riding on our emergency response vehicles to calls in our city. There's about a 30% chance, a third of the time, you'll see a doctor at your door with a 911 call. And it's a great relationship as they learn what it's like to be on a scene, and then our guys get the benefit of the knowledge of a physician on the truck with them. We can't find anybody else in the country that's doing that. There may be, but we can't find anybody else that has contracted and making that happen. As I said, new fire stations one, and then fire station five, which is at the wharf, is going to have to move. We're looking at a piece of property at Powerline Road. Hopefully that's where we're going to build Station 5. So the response time all the way to the city limits to the west, Beaver Creek, and up and down Canal Road to 161 will be as good as it has always been, but improve, if we can, the emergency response time to medical calls. The Justice Center, as you see, we'll have to move it out into the parking lot. We will then take that parking lot and move it just to the north. We bought that 6.5 acres behind the, is it Kangaroo? What is it now? Circle K? Behind the Circle K where all the oak trees are, that we bought that property, and we're going to use the back part of it where the pretty trees aren't for parking for Justice Center and police station expansion. And like I said, we only had about 25 officers at the time that this was built, and I think now we have about 60. This is what our new Public Works building is going to look like. It's essentially EMC's building, probably a little bigger, but everything is going to be housed under one roof. This is the... In the right-hand corner at the bottom is what the Auburn Research Center will look like, sitting there on the pond there next to the tiki. How convenient. So, but the it's going to, the Gulf Coast Research Center is a it's a big deal. I mean, Auburn University, University of South Alabama and Alabama will be anchored there doing research on our estuaries, our back bays, and our beaches. We're building a new Coastal Resource Center. That we have coastal, since we've gotten into the beach cleaning and beach, everything beach, we have really expanded the number of employees and the number of equipment necessary to do that. And we've got it spread out all over the city. We've got to centralize it, so we're going to put it in a new building there on that property with boat docks and to be able to centralize all of our equipment and to make sure my personal favorite has a place to sit. I don't think anybody got that. Am I the only one that got that? Do I? All right. It was funny when I put in there this afternoon.
Was that fake book or was that real?
That's my personal coastal limousine. Anyway, we can't go anywhere without talking about our art center. I mean, it is a toast of the coast. It is... when people see it from other places, they just can't believe that we have this campus and what we have there for the visual arts. This is the new boardwalk in the back, and that's about as postcard a view as it gets is out the back of the Coastal Arts Center over Wolf Bay. It's beautiful. This is what our new gymnasium that's going up right next to the rec center will look like. The current rec center will get an upgrade or a facelift as we paint it to match the new gym. This is what our new adult fitness center will look like. And it's important. We've run out of space in the rec center for our children's programs and adult programs. And also something that has always concerned us is we don't like kids and adults intermingling unsupervised. That's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. So we've got to separate the two. And this is going to be the new adult center. This is what the weight room fitness side will look like. It's three times the size of what we have now. This is what the new exercise rooms will look like. And it's going to be 24/7. And the way it's designed, it will only take one employee to manage it for the most part. So it'll be very efficiently run. This is looking out from the back to the front. There's a lounge area where the windows are facing the community center. So now, finances. Our goal will be we will be debt-free in 2022. We would be debt-free today, but the bonds require us to pay them off in installments and won't allow us to pay them early. We owe about $4.5 million right now. We've paid down a lot of debt in the last 10 years. So to give you a little bit of a how big a deal that is for this city to be debt-free, this is how much money we could borrow a bond anytime we wanted. So in my mind, thank you, Council, it's a big deal to be debt-free. These are our sales tax collections, lodging tax collections in 2018. They're way up. They're way up because our occupancy rates are way up on the beach. We have a few more rooms but it's not necessarily the rooms now. Every weekend in the summer today is equivalent to a 4th of July weekend 4 years ago. And I think all of you can attest to that. We're going to talk a little bit about taxes because we've got a really good revenue stream coming in. Let me go back in history a little bit. In 2005, there's a 1 cent sales tax put in place to essentially cover coastal cleanup, coastal protection, preservation, and drainage improvements. That was renewed in 2015 to essentially cover the expense of leave-only footprints, which run us at least $1 million-plus a year to keep that program going. The county then put a 1 cent sales tax in place for the schools, which brought it to the total of 10%. That 1 cent sales tax sunsets in 2025, which means unless the council votes to renew it, it goes away. We are now evaluating at that point, what do we do about repaying taxes to our citizens with certain conditions, but we want to put it in place, a possible sunsetting of property taxes. Now, the caveat is that over the next 5 years, if the revenues continue as they are, we will be able to do all of our infrastructure needs, pay cash for it, be able to possibly rebate a good bit of your property tax, the city property tax, back to you and still be debt-free. So that's our goal. That's our plan. Now, again, if the bridge happens for whatever reason and we decide to build the bridge, that may change that plan. But if the bridge does not happen, then we would hope that in 5 years, like I said, I'm going to repeat myself, we're debt-free, every piece of infrastructure upgrade is done and paid for, and we're able to give you back some of your tax money. And I'm hoping the federal government's watching. This is the Hartley Index, named after my brother-in-law, Jeff Hartley, the sewer flow index. So this is his legacy. So I told him I'd get him back one day. But if you look at the numbers, it's the most accurate accounting of what the number of people here. Look at 2012, 2015, 2018. You'll see, especially in the off season, it has jumped significantly, significantly. December has gone up almost 50% since 2012. We have a lot of people coming, a lot of people here. This is our construction permits. Most all of these are residential. These are our condominium projects in place. All of these condominiums are on property previously zoned condominium many years ago. And again, this is one of those places I want to negate the Facebook chatter. There is no such thing as a moratorium on building permits. That is impossible. If you did that, you will get sued and you will lose a lot of money. Every one of these projects were PUDs, planned unit developments. PUD has had a bad name in the past, a bad reputation. A PUD is an exemption to the zoning ordinance. It allows for something that doesn't fit a unique idea to be vetted out, and then the mayor and council will then approve it or not. But it's also used to negotiate with good faith and good-hearted developers on a better project with lower density than what they could do by right. As an example, Brett and Robinson on one property, I think it was the one right there next to the Hampton Inn, could have built close to 1 million square feet by right of condominium. In our working with them on the PUD, horse trading back and forth, for lack of a better word, we got a 60% of that, roughly 650,000 square feet built out and access to the beach. So the PUD was being used not as a bad thing, but as a good thing to reduce density where the developer or the builder has the right to build whether we like that or not. Not to say condominiums are good, not to say condominiums are bad. The bottom line is they had the right to build that condominium, and they came to us and said, what would y'all like there? Help us design what would fit. So I appreciate Brett and Robinson doing that, and most every other developer that are hometown folks are doing the same thing with us. How are we managing growth? Well, over the last 12 years, and as long as all these guys have been with me, we have not upzoned a single piece of property. What does upzone mean? It essentially means increasing the density, taking a residential piece of property, rezoning it for somebody to build a condominium. We have not done We have not done that, period, anywhere, anytime. If you look at this map, we're right now talking with the Planning Commission about further growth management. What is happening is everywhere you see the red is general business. In my mind, general business means restaurants, retail, service-oriented businesses. Well, it is turned into, because of a lack of land, residential in construction. Fairly high density. It's, in my mind, it's creating an imbalance. Too many homes and not enough businesses. So we are looking at the general business zoning along with Marina Resort. Marina Resort right now allows condominiums and high-density residential. In general business, we're going to take residential out, and it's going to be, that includes apartments, it's going to be just retail, restaurants, things that general business should be. Marina Resort is going to be a marina, or it's going to be single-family residential, but no condominiums or no high-density development. We think it's a fair trade-off in trying to manage, for again, going back to quality of life issues. And you guys, y'all jump in anytime because, you know, I'll get rolling, so jump in. But we think it's a good balance as we do see an imbalance coming with general business. You can see how much general business we have all over the city and what that would be like if every one of those, unless some of those have been built out, but if every one of those red splotches were 100 townhomes, you could see the problem. The light blue is Marina Resort. You could see the issue with condominiums continuing to pop up, especially on the north side above the beach along Canal Road. Now, going into infrastructure needs, I've learned something after beating my head against the wall so many times dealing with Montgomery. Money goes where the votes are. It's just that simple. It took me a while to figure that out. It took us a while. My daddy taught me, son, there's three parts to a negotiation. You either got leverage, you got relationship, you got both, or the fourth is the worst, you have none. Then the best you can do is negotiate the best butt kicking you can get. So we have no leverage in Montgomery with only 3,000 voters. So we decided, and it came, I was doing a talk to the chamber in Leeds, Alabama, and in talking with them, I realized they knew absolutely nothing about Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, and the beaches of Alabama. They had no clue what our needs were. One of their representatives, who is one of the state representatives, came up to me after me and said, I had no idea. So we decided then we needed to go on a statewide tour promoting Orange Beach, and that's what we did. And essentially, we hit Tuscaloosa, Huntsville, Birmingham, Auburn. I don't know why we went to Auburn, but we did. Essentially, our mantra became, these are Alabama's beaches. We're just the stewards of your beaches. They're a gem, and everybody in this state loves them. But you guys have got to understand, you got to become more engaged with our infrastructure needs and help us out, because we're not getting the help we need. And that relationship has improved significantly in the last few years with Mr. Cooper. But I think it's improving. It has proven significantly better in the last year. We did an Orange Beach Day at the Capitol. We essentially took a large room and recreated Orange Beach. And we had essentially everybody from anywhere on the Capitol grounds came through, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. We had restaurants there. I mean, it was an unbelievable day and great contacts. I do think the greatest thing to come out of it was the Floribama came up with a virgin bushwhacker. So proud of y'all for that. So, but we did make so many contacts, and we really did create relationships that now we pick the phone up with Central and North Alabama legislators, and we get some help. This is part of my talk. In the summer, I don't know if many of you realize this, we're the fifth largest city in the state of Alabama. Any day of the year, we've got 20,000 people here. Some days, we've got 50,000 people here. We're a small population, big city. We move iron bowl traffic every day of the summer, so I don't want to hear anybody else whine about traffic. And if it rains, we move it twice a day. And y'all know what I'm talking about. We are believing in protecting our brand, and we sell this brand everywhere we go: God, family, country, traditional values, family values. That is our brand. That is our niche, and we don't prostitute that for any reason. We're working to make sure architecture now meets our coastal look when we have a PUD and we have the ability to do it. And most builders would do it because they think it's the right thing. But you can see our new Dollar General is much more attractive than the old Dollar General. You see our residential neighborhoods, how we're trying to make that coastal, create that coastal look. The leave-only footprints. Most of you probably already know this. On the left is what it was before leave-only footprints. I mean, it had gotten out of control. We had groups coming in, creating communes, multiple, you know, Walmart $99 tents, $15 chairs. So we had multiple tents lined up. We had grills, portable bars, generators. I mean, it was just a big party. Almost all of them had LSU flags. It was...
Hey, you got to have good relatives.
Yeah, half of them were your relatives, that's right. We love our LSU buddies.
Hey, can I make a comment?
Yes,
though?
You can.
This is really handled by our Coastal Resources Department. Our first year, we contracted this out, and then they took it over. And I just want to commend Philip and Wade and y'all's department, our ambassadors, the people you see in the Jeeps. They do a phenomenal job doing this. So, thank you.
You know, that's a great segue. Would you guys, all of the department heads, stand up and just turn around and wave at everybody? I mean, these are the guys that make everything happen. In spite of me and the council, they get it done. And then we've got 350 full-time employees, probably close to 500 full and part-time. And guys, I mean, for that many employees, we have no issues. We have no personnel issues to any great degree. It's really, I can't brag on them enough, and I hope y'all are just as proud of our folks as we are. But anyway, so now you see what the beach looks like after in the afternoon and the next morning. Totally different. And it was very, we were very concerned at how that was going to be received from our tourists, but 99.9% really appreciated the fact that we were doing what we were doing. Christmas, the Disney effect. If Disney World does what they do to create the effect they get with the money they spend, it must work. So we've adopted that Disney World mentality of we want the right-of-ways grass cut, trash picked up. We want palm trees or whatever, foliage, anywhere we can put it to create a paradise effect so that we enjoy it, they enjoy it, and they feel like they're not at home anymore. We are the youth sports capital of the South. We had over 1,000 teams come through. If you think about it, it couldn't be a better crowd. It's multi-generational, you know, mama, papa, mom, dad, and the kids. And that's what we want. And they want to be here because of the environment we present for them. We are the 10th safest city in the state of Alabama, regardless of size. We would be the safest city in the Alabama, but they penalized us because we only have 6,000 full-time residents, 3,000 voters. They didn't take into effect that we have 100,000 people here in the summer. So we're very proud that to carry that moniker of the safest. We do not believe in the MTV crowd spring break, and we won't put up with it. And we have fought hard to preserve our spring break for families. And last year we had the best spring break we ever had relative to the number of families coming. And when you talk with them, they told you, we're here because you don't have MTV spring break. So we stand by that, and we're proud of that. Because if we're going to have folks here, it's nice to have families and our kids. A running debate in the city is colored lights versus white lights. I'm a gaudy Christmas person. I like as many colored lights, as gaudy as it can be. That's the old-fashioned Christmas. And then I got these new wave folks that like the white. But so what about who's a white light person? Who's a gaudy light? That's what I'm talking about. There you go. Y'all don't have to turn around, but the gaudy lights won. So it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. No, it was 10-1. So, but we love Christmas, and we're really trying to make Christmas a special time right here for all of us that stay here and live here. Beach Express Toll Bridge, 4 million, almost 4.5 million folks came over in 17. That's a 13% increase. I'm sorry, 18. 13% increase over 17. There's about the same increase over 16, and there'll probably be the same increase over 19 over 18. People have found out that coming down the expressway in the summer is probably 20 minutes faster or more than coming down 59. Wonderful. But at the same time, y'all know what it does to Canal Road. It's a nightmare. So that's why, and we've preached that it is imperative that we get the fifth lane and look at other options to move traffic down Canal Road. So Orange Beach improvements. Five laning of Canal Road. It's been forever coming, but it's actually happening. October 1st, we should see roadway construction happening. Right now we're moving. All the utilities had to be moved, and that has taken about a year. Water, sewer, gas, all the MediaCom, CenturyLink, everything had to be moved. So that has delayed us. It's a two-year project, two-and-a-half-year project, but it is actually happening, and it's paid for. So from docks to Perdido Gate will be improved. It is now a city road, which gives us much more leeway to do with it what we want. The state gave us the road and $700,000 for maintenance for about 20 years, and we thought it was a pretty good deal because we prefer to be able to do with that road what we want and not have to get permission. Three lane from docks to the rec center. There will be a roundabout. I don't know what I think about roundabouts, but they tell me they work. At the library art center. And the reason for that is we're going to eliminate completely the U-turns, people turning on to Canal Road, going east, trying to make a U-turn to go back to docks, which backs traffic up in the summer into the intersection, which just creates havoc. So now they have to go down to the roundabout to go back to docks. But the other reason the roundabout is there, it was becoming very difficult to come out of the senior center, the event library, or the art center and make a left because there was so much traffic. Now all that will enter into the roundabout. You come in and I don't know how many times you're going to have to go around before you get going the other way. But it's supposed to work. You're supposed to pull out, make a circle, and head back to the east. So that's coming, and hopefully we're going to start that in the January kit, hopefully sometime in the beginning of next year. And it's paid for with Restore Act money. We're going to have to contribute some because of the roundabout. The Wolf Bay Bridge. The Wolf Bay Bridge is on hold. Mr. Barber is a very nice man. I've enjoyed talking and working with him, but at this time, Mr. Barber has other priorities in his life. He has other issues that he's working and dealing with. So it's just not a priority, and we have no intentions of signing an MOU or a contract just to make a deal. If it's not a good deal, if it's not a deal in the best interest of the city of Orange Beach, then we won't build the bridge. So now, having said that, that doesn't mean we don't need the bridge and we don't want the bridge. That's a matter of opinion. But we will continue to pursue the permit. And the permit is good for 10 years, and we'll know in a year if we have the permit. Now, there was also some chatter on Facebook about us spending money without a contract. Well, that's technically true. But there was a reason we did that. With or without the MOU, we wanted to know that if we got all the geotech, surveying, bathymetry, and everything done, we would save a year and a half on construction if we were going to go through with the bridge. If you're going to do it, then go ahead and do it. Secondly, at that time, there was talk with President Trump going into office and Congress that there would be an infrastructure bill with a Republican Congress. So we wanted to be shovel ready, and we had to spend that money to get to that point. So we were first in line if federal money came available and a shortened timeline on their requirements to get the permit. And everything we've paid for is good for years. It's not like it was a waste of money. So that's why we did what we did. The Aldott Gulf Intercoastal Waterway Bridge, bridge to the west. It's still on the books. I don't know if you want to comment, but I think it's still coming. Am I wrong?
Yes, Mayor. It's scheduled for a February letting, which means it would be under construction around May of next year.
So what will happen there is there will be off the expressway at about Columbia Southern where it makes that left turn, somewhere in that general vicinity where that is a Shell station sitting in the center, there will be two lanes that would branch off and head south right down the Gulf Shores, Orange Beach city limits. And the original reasoning was this, was to get access to the airport, to their industrial sites, and to the north side of the canal and get that to the expressway for Gulf Shores. And then we tagged along with it with a bridge. The bridge will go over, make the big horseshoe, come back into another roundabout. And then it will be five lane from that point back to the wharf. So it is another bridge. For, I don't know if y'all remember, but July the 5th, several years ago, we had a barge bump the toll bridge. We were blessed that there was no real damage, but it was shut down for a day or so. I could not imagine life in Orange Beach if we lost that bridge for a year because a barge took out one of the pylons. We need redundancy in bridges. We need four lanes north and south, not two. So this bridge is very important in my mind. And is any time you build new roadways in today's world, you got to end up taking some type of property. This roadway took the minimal amount of property from individuals, which is difficult to stomach at times, but it had to be built, and it didn't affect anybody, in my humble opinion, extremely negative in that they took, they did not want to let their house go, and I think it was only one individual. So we're praying, and we're supporting and hoping that it's going to come through. This bridge has no pylons. It free spans the canal, so a bridge could not, it's a bridge that could not be injured by a runaway barge or anything of that nature. This is the Canal Road bypass, and we do have y'all's blessing now, right?
Yeah, it has to go through the environmental process, so okay. It's a conceptual plan. There will be a public hearing. There will be different options, but it's probably one that we all favor. That's correct.
Yeah. Aren't you glad you came?
Yes.
Yeah. I think the state is behind it. It's just a matter of there's a lot of wetlands there, so we will have to go through environmental permitting, wetland mediation, and all that has to be done. But we think it's absolutely necessary to help us flow traffic off Canal Road. Yes. Once this is built, the delineators there by McDonald's, all that will free up for left turns into that, in and out of that retail complex there, Cactus Cantina, Wildflowers, et cetera. So right now it's a nightmare getting in and out. So, but we are extending the delineators in front of McDonald's further south because it has now become the most dangerous place in the city of Orange Beach. People trying to turn left into McDonald's, it has been terrible as far as head-ons and T-bones and as much as we hate to limit the access, we have no choice but to do that. Yep, this is the new Oak Ridge sidewalk connection. So now you got a sidewalk down Oak Ridge and a connection that goes all the way to the Sportsplex. We have requested a red light at Louder Lane. We believe it's absolutely necessary. The state does not. So I'm not going to put you on the spot on that one. But they declined our request. That doesn't mean it's the end of it. What I'm going to offer them is whether there's enough traffic or not, it's not the point. It is one of the most dangerous places in the city to pull out and try to make a left turn. And we have a tremendous number of kids in that area that live there and drive are being driven. So we're going to continue to work with them and see if we can't. However, we're going to put a plan B in place, and that is to create a service road off Louder Lane all the way down to Gulf Bay Road. And if we can't get a red light, then if you're going to make a left turn, you're going to have to do a jog down to the right during the summer, because most of the time, I guess, in the off season, you can make that. But we're going to jog down to Gulf Bay Road light so that you can have a signalized left. That's the best we can do if they don't let us have the light. But, again, we don't know that we can get that done. But we're starting design and investigation right now to see if that's a possibility. I think the state will relent eventually, so I'm not going to let up. We're not going to let up. Canal Road sidewalk from Cypress Village down to the Pines. This is a very expensive sidewalk, but with the growth of Cypress Village, the number of kids in Captain's Cove, in that area, we feel like we got to try to investigate. The biggest issue with it is drainage. Anytime you build a sidewalk, you build a dike, and it's very hard. Y'all know how that area floods and holds water, so it's very dicey to build a 2,000-foot dike. This is the new trail around Snapper Lake. It's really nice. Anybody that hadn't been back there, you ought to go back there and look at it. It goes off of our Twin Bridges Trail. Powerline Road, need I say any more? I don't know what to tell you. We do have a grassroots effort in place by our citizens to petition Montgomery to reevaluate Powerline Road as a roadway to the beach. We all know that that roadway would probably take 40 to 50% of the traffic off of Canal Road. It would be an absolute blessing. Unfortunately, Montgomery has signed a contract to allow the construction of the lodge to go forward that prevents any new roads to be built through the state park for 20 years. We continue to bang the gong that Powerline Road is already a road. It was the original road to the beach, and if I'm not mistaken, it's called Romar Road. So we're not building a new road. It is an existing road. So, and it's something I got to think, the environmentalists have really pounded us on building that road. But I got to thinking, and I asked a world-renowned environmentalist that was at the lodge giving a talk, what is worse for the environment, the carbon footprint of 15 million cars driving around the state park all summer long and all year long, and that's what they have to do, versus a potential critter getting hit on a bridge, a roadway through the middle? I personally think the carbon footprint of all those cars going round and round is much worse on our environment. So if they build Powerline Road, we're saving the earth, right? That's my argument. So, all right, y'all know all about the Makos. We love the Makos. It has been a blessing to our community, and any of y'all that have been to any games or any of their functions, it's just really unique to see our city come together and support our new schools. It's been fantastic. This is the school when it's finished. Yep. Oh, man, I forgot. Did Houston make it? Oh, man, I was supposed to let you go at 6:15. I'm sorry, man. I apologize. Your dad said you got to be out of here by 6:15.
So. It's only 6:01.
Oh, man, I'm pretty good. All right. So come up here. Stand up. Show. Houston Bryant is the first ever Student Government Association president at our high school, Orange Beach High School. Oh, no. Did y'all see what he said? You want me to come up here and say a few words? He is not afraid of a microphone, guys, I'm telling you. Come up here and let him look at you, though. How's that?
Rosie Butler is also here, and they were both homecoming king and queen.
Oh, okay. Come on up here, guys. Tell them who you are and why you're here.
My name is Houston Bryant. I'm the first ever SGA president of Orange Beach Midland High School. She is another one of our representatives. I've also seen other representatives here today in the audience. Madison.
Stand up if you're here. Madison.
She's already in the back standing up.
Yeah. Do it. Oh, good. And thank y'all.
Hi, my name is Evie Rosa. I'm a representative from the Habitus House, and I'm so excited to be here today. We were going to tell you a little bit about what's going on at our school today. So we have houses, and there's seven habits of highly effective people. And you want to talk about the habits?
I can talk about habits. So If you remember elementary school students, they had the 7 habits of a highly successful person. The habits include be proactive, begin with the end in mind, think win-win. What was the next one?
What else?
First things first.
Sharpen saw. Synergize.
Seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Yes.
That's 5.
Synergize and then sharpen the saw.
Yes.
We have been sorted into each house on the first couple days of school, where we get to go meet with our house members, discuss certain things about our house, organize certain community events, volunteer events, and we chose 2 representatives from each of the houses to be a part of our student body government. She is one of them, Evie Rose.
And we also wanted to thank the whole Orange Beach Middle High School. Wanted to thank our community so much for the support you've given us, because we couldn't do what we do without you. So we're so incredibly thankful every day, because this wouldn't be possible if it weren't for all of you.
Okay. They are also homecoming king and queen. So. You want to run for mayor? Okay. You'll let me know? Okay, I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you. Thank y'all. Appreciate you being here. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for getting him here. So, this is the new school with the Performing Arts Center. This is where our Performing Arts Center, and we're very proud of this. The city is going to be building this 700-plus seat, absolutely state-of-the-art Performing Arts Center, for us to do all kinds of great things. I tell folks, it's funny, I grew up in Mobile, and in Mobile, anything worth doing had to have a ball included. So, and then my daughter became a musician. So it changes everything. So I see the value now for all those kids that don't care about athletics or don't want to be an athlete. Their desires, their passions are just as important in the visual arts, performing arts, or whatever it may be, as any athlete. So we have, along with the school, the principal, we have committed together, academics is first, and way up here. Nothing else matters but academics. So, secondly, the arts and athletics are on an even keel. Our athletic director, on an organizational chart, is at the same level as our performing arts director. So we are committed to the arts. Our sponsors are committed to the arts, athletics, and above all, academics. So we're very proud of that. This is our new athletic complex. It will have a covered field of 50 yards. What's unique about this, there are others in the state, but they're generally oriented toward males and football. Ours will be a co-ed building, equally suited for men and women for weight training, performance training, locker rooms, nutrition, sports medicine, everything. So this is our new baseball stadium, 500-seat baseball, 400-seat girls softball. This is what it's going to look like. We're doing the design now. And that's at the Sportsplex. And then our football stadium will be at the Sportsplex in 3 years when SEC championship contract runs up. So as you see, we're investing a lot of money in our school, and I'm selfish because I have a 13-year-old. But also as a businessman, I believe it is the best place we could ever put our money as a city, because the returns are going to be 100-fold in every imaginable way. And I think we're all on the same page. So I'm blessed that a council – I follow their lead. Again, y'all have heard me say, I do the talking, but these guys do the thinking. So, yeah. There's plenty of seats up front for Baptists. So, very proud of our community. They've already raised over $400,000 in sponsorships for our school. Very proud of them. We've put about $700,000 as a city into that particular pot of money. That doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing in the construction side. Well, I think you all are familiar with the Expect Excellence program. I won't go into everything we do, but you see how structured it is. It is not babysitting. These kids come in and they go do something worthwhile. Our mantra is, if you find a child's passion early, you won't be out looking for them later. And that's what we're trying to do, is find every child's passion and develop it and give them an opportunity. Academics, tutoring lab, I mean, everything, ACT prep, whatever we need to do to get these kids ready for the real world when they graduate. Athletics, arts, entertainment, theater, dance, music. We have free music lessons, piano, guitar, drum, voice lessons for our kids. This is something new we're rolling out now. Once we get our new adult gym built, this rec center, current rec center, will have much more room to do other things. We're going to start the continuing excellence program for adults. So during the day, when there's no kids there, weekends or at night, we're going to offer a lot of the same programs we actually offer to the kids. We have great resources and great talent. So we have a lot of adults that have expressed interest in learning to sing, playing the piano. My favorite is poetry. So I'm really happy. And you see all that we're doing.
I thought it was soccer, Mayor.
I am a soccer convert. I have accepted it now. Horizons 2020 was a plan in 2006 that was put forward that essentially was a plan for what we needed to do as we move forward. There were questions about what have we accomplished. We went back and looked, and essentially roughly 40 out of 56 recommendations we have made happen. There's a bunch of recommendations that didn't make sense as the city changed and times changed. But there are five things that we have not done. I don't know that we can, because essentially they're somewhat out of our control, but publicly owned boat launches. There's only one place to put a boat launch on the south side of the city, and that's next to the creek. There's not another place in this city for a boat launch on the south side. On the north side, the county is talking about putting one next to the bridge. I don't know if that will happen, what it will look like, and what it will serve, but we're looking at it with the county. The park and ride system was evaluated with a study and was not shown to be efficient or effective or would not work in the city of Orange Beach for a multitude of reasons. We tried the beach trolley. It did not work. And workforce housing is not a possibility now with land prices and where we're at on the south side. However, we all see the huge apartment complexes on the north side. So workforce housing is available. It's just not going to be south of the canal. Okay. John, where are you at, buddy? McInnes? There you come. I knew this question would come up, so I asked John McInnes from the floor of Bauman to tell you what he's doing about the traffic at floor of Bauman. So, John, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you doing that.
Check, check. Hey, guys, I'm John McInnes, one of the owners of floor of Bauman. Tony, thank you guys for having me. I want to just bring you up to date on a lot of the improvements that we and ALDOT and FDOT and the City of Orange Beach have done around the floor of Bama. You have our word as owners of the floor of Bama that we sit, when traffic does back up, we sit in it most days of the year, and we have to cross that road multiple times a day, so we take it very seriously. For about 2 or 3 years, we've done a multitude of things. It started with master planning with our engineers, all of our properties, and combining them into one on a drawing. And we did a few things. One, we analyzed the turn-in and turn-outs of the business, where the crosswalk is, and then a way to connect our parking lots on the interior of the property so that you wouldn't, if you pulled into the property and you couldn't find a parking space, you didn't have to come back out and then go in another parking place. So here's what's been accomplished. The main improvements needed are through ALDOT and FDOT, and as far as we're concerned and the city's concerned, the Alabama DOT gets an A+. They have given us not only everything we asked for, the city asked for, but they've gone above and beyond, and they have completed all of their work, and they did that this year. And that includes Obviously, they resurfaced and restriped from Perdido Pass Bridge to the Floribama. As you know, it goes from a five-lane to a two-lane, which creates its own problems. But they installed a new turn lane where if you're heading eastbound to the Floribama, and if a car is turning in left into the parking lots, it doesn't back up traffic halfway to Ono Island. So that turn lane is significantly long and should and started alleviating a lot of the congestion this year. That single thing would have a huge impact. The second thing they did was reduce the speed limit for safety in that area. They put up warning signs for the pedestrian crosswalk and a bunch of other small things that have added up and really made a difference this year and will next year. We worked with them and FDOT to basically plan out the entrance and exits to our property to try to minimize those and make it as efficient as possible. And the we just got done permitting the ramp on the interior of our property that will allow people to go back and forth inside the parking lots. In the last few years, we've spent a couple $1 million adding parking, buying property, and engineering these improvements. The last piece is we're waiting on the Florida Department of Transportation. They've taken the longest. They completed all their safety studies last year, appropriated the monies they needed, and engineered a new crosswalk. It will be a very significant lighted crosswalk that will be mechanically controlled. So two things are going to happen. One is during the times that it's appropriate, there'll be a controlled light there where somebody will push the button. It'll tell them to wait. And so instead of having random people crossing the road and backing up traffic, it'll make it a lot smoother. Most of the time during peak season, we employ and spend a couple $100,000 on Escambia County Sheriff's deputies to control the crosswalk. And that's difficult because we can't legally have an employee tell somebody if they can or can't cross a state highway. So we have to rely on them to do that. And as y'all know, our law enforcement are taxed. And so the city of Orange Beach can't help with it because it's in Florida. So Escambia County's been great, but we can only get so many taskings from them because the guys are out saving lives. So what the county's done is the Escambia County, Florida, has entered into a road swap agreement with the state of Florida DOT, and in the next few months, the county takes control of that road. As far as we're concerned, we're indifferent on it, but what the benefit that comes is the current county commissioner and commission over there has told us that they will hire Escambia County crossing guards. The Floribama can pay for them 100%, and it will basically allow us to triple the coverage of crosswalk attendees there at the same cost we're paying now. So we're going to implement not only the mechanical signal, but also physical people there directing traffic. And there'll be mechanisms in place that we'll have to learn over time, but when it backs up a certain amount of traffic, they stop the people from crossing, clear the traffic, et cetera. So the FDOT improvements have not been done. I got word again today. I ask them every month, but they say they've let the contract. It's done. It's happening soon. The county, in the next 60 days. So we'll see if that happens. But we're doing everything we can. Again, we sit when there's traffic, we sit in it, and we have to cross that dangerous road all the time ourselves. So everything's going as good as it can go. I think you'll see a lot of improvement next year. I know we all saw some this year. And I'll close with this. A lot of people suggest an overhead crosswalk. We have looked at that for years, and we've tried to engineer it and figure out a way to make it work. And the issue with that is there's a limited amount of space there. And unless you can force every single person to use it, the truth is 80% of the people are just going to walk across the road. And so it creates a more dangerous situation where every car is assuming there's nobody walking across the road because there's an overhead crosswalk. And it's just going to make it more dangerous. If it would work, we would do it, and we'd figure out a way to pay for it. But it just will not work unless you can force 100% of the people to do it. It's because you're crossing a two-lane road section, and nobody's going to walk up 10 flights of stairs to save 30 feet. So we will continue to analyze that and continue to look at other ways to improve it. But thank you for your patience as we continue to work on those things. God bless you guys. I'm proud to live in this city.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much, buddy. Okay. We did all the candy and nuts early on to try to get you on a good mood before we go to golf carts. So how many people are here about golf carts? We get it, I promise you. Yeah. This is a golf cart community, and we all want golf carts or have golf carts. Unfortunately, don't shoot the messenger. Why now? What's the issue now? For all of you that love golf carts, I want you to believe and understand there are a lot of people out there that do not like your golf cart. And they call constantly about your golf cart and your kids' own golf carts. If we get a complaint that is legitimate, and it is a complaint about a violation of the law, we have an obligation to investigate and to deal with it. Increased numbers of tourists with golf carts, people pulling them in on trailers behind RVs. I mean, y'all see it. Y'all know how the numbers have increased. We had businesses applying for golf cart rentals. Can you imagine golf carts? It's like jet ski rentals. Can you imagine the issues with people renting that's never been on a golf cart or renting and giving it to their kid on Beach Road? So we did not allow any golf cart rentals. We have issues with sidewalks, and I'll get into that in just a second. This is the interaction with juveniles. You see it went go from 20 to 63 in just a very short period. And that's the ones we could find. Please remember, when you call about a golf cart, that golf cart is not where you saw it by the time the police officer gets there. It's mobile. It is somewhere else, if not at home. And in the summer, we do not have the ability to look for golf carts or violations in golf carts and do everything we have to do. So it's not that we don't understand your grief, especially when kids, but sometimes it's just there's nothing we can do. Did I go backwards? We're one of the last tour cities to address this. Most all others have addressed it in pretty much a very heavy-handed fashion. And we have been hesitant to do that. However, a willful regard or disregard for enforcement of a law creates a liability situation for the city. It's a tough position to be in here and all of us because I'm a live and let live kind of guy. I don't see an issue with golf carts except for the kids. However, state law prohibits anything motorized on the sidewalk. Our sidewalks in a lot of the places in the city are from federal grants that prohibit motorized vehicles on sidewalks. So, how many golf carts use the sidewalks to get from place to place, your watering hole, Publix, whatever? Pretty much everybody. 2016, Baldwin County voters voted to put law to limit golf carts. Our folks voted to do this. And there was no input requested of us whatsoever in crafting that law. This is what the law says we must do, we shall do. Adopt an ordinance designating what streets you can use a golf cart on. Golf carts must be permitted and inspected by the city. They require headlights, brake lights, turn signals, windshield, proof of insurance. City permit required. Its operation is between sun up and sun down. So why headlights? Only licensed drivers may operate golf carts. The municipality may be more restrictive, but not less restrictive than state law. Gulf Shores recently passed an ordinance which is very restrictive, much more so than the county. And we are working on how do we deal with this. Our goal is an ordinance that will be minimal in nature to accomplish what state law requires us to do. What we think will happen will, you will have to retrofit with lights and all that stuff. I talked with the gentleman that's got the John Simmons, I think is his name. He said it's about $650 average to retrofit a golf cart, a real golf cart that doesn't have lights and blinkers and all that, to make it so-called street legal, which is not really a correct term. But that is probably going to have to happen. We'll have a phase-in period, a grace period, but eventually every golf cart will have to meet those standards, be inspected and permitted. We may try to permit in. We'll tie it in with finance where it's very easy. Hopefully, we've thought about, for example, we would come to Bear Point at the Civic Center and have an inspection day so everybody can bring their golf cart there and get them inspected. We might go to Terry Cove. Anywhere there's a congregation or a large grouping of golf carts, we will go to you and try to go through the permitting inspection process. You can only operate a golf cart by law on a street that is 25 miles per hour or less. Most city streets are 25 miles per hour or less, so that should not be a problem. So we should be able to use your golf cart on our city streets if you're over 16. The issue then becomes, how do you get from your neighborhood to the Tiki or to Publix or where you want to go? We have, with BKI, our engineering folks that we do a lot of business with, we are aggressively looking at Canal Road East, from Docks East, how do we create a golf cart path? And we will have to have the state's permission to create a golf cart pass on 161 North and South, because that's all state right away. So we're actively pursuing all of that. And then we can open it up to questions here in just a minute. But I hope you understand, this is not anything we wanted to deal with, I promise you. It's not pleasant at all, but it is something we have to do, and I hope that y'all understand and work with us and make suggestions and help us craft an ordinance that will solve all of our problems and continue to allow us to be a golf cart community. So we have a newsletter. I don't know how you get to it, but this is it here. So Orange Beach, I'm computer illiterate and plan on staying that way. So now it's time for questions. So we will open up the mic. We have roving mics for anybody that would like to ask a question from their seat. And center aisle is where you can start. So please, you got to have questions. Pastor Fred, do we need another prayer before we open up to questions? I didn't know he got here. Okay, Eddie Tower, our superintendent of schools, is here, and I appreciate him taking the time to come. So thank you, sir. I did not see you sneak in. Yes, ma'am.
I guess I'll go ahead and break the ice. I have two questions.
Yes, ma'am.
One, what is the plan to continue the median east of 161? The median project.
We have a drawing out there. Are you talking about from docks to the roundabout?
No. I'm talking on Beach Boulevard. Excuse me.
Median. You mean 182. Beach Road.
Yes.
Okay. We're both confused. All right. There is none east. The state has pulled the phase three, which would have been 161 to the bridge. We concurred. We agreed. They were very accommodating in listening to our desire not to go further. The only place that really justifies it that is a danger is in front of Zeke's. We know how many accidents we have there. And again, that's one of the most dangerous places for head-ons and T-bones in the city of Orange Beach. I don't know if anything will happen there, but right now there's no plans whatsoever. And I do want to give accolades again to state, to LDOT, because they fixed 182 all the way to the state line in Floribama in light speed time. You see where Florida, this was 3 years ago, Florida hasn't touched it. Our guys got in, got it done, simply because we asked them to do it. And please, thank you again for that. So does that answer your question?
Yes, that answered that question.
Okay.
And then I have one other.
Yes, ma'am.
We have seen and been experiencing as residents here in Orange Beach a lot of things that are going to improve our quality of life as residents, improve the quality of the aesthetics here as more and more tourists come. I'm directly involved in that in the hospitality industry. What I don't see is something that's been talked about quietly for a couple of years, and I'm wondering about the tiniest residents of our city, and that's our animals. There's been some talk about hopefully an animal shelter coming soon, and most people probably don't realize that not only do we not have an animal shelter in this area, but Baldwin County Animal Shelter will not accept cats. So for a plethora of cats, which in a lot of neighborhoods we have here in Orange Beach, there is no place for them to go.
We have committed to a study to look at something to do with an animal shelter. City of Orange Beach has to some degree led that charge, but we will not do it alone. It will have to be a tri-city effort with the county to make one efficient. It's very expensive, and an efficiency is going to require essentially all of the area down here geographically to commit. The study is not back, so I'm hesitant to say anything.
Sure. What's the expectation on that?
When was it? A couple more weeks? The study?
2 weeks. They're coming.
Shelter Planners of America.
Shelter Planners of America. So we are committed to see what the study says. And we're hoping the City of Foley, Gulf Shores, and the county government will get on board and we'll all do it together.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor, can I make a quick announcement?
You can.
If we lose people, we will have the presentation, if not tomorrow, by the end of the week. And you'll go to orangebeachal.gov. And then I believe under reports, there's a tab at the top, reports, which is right near the news button that you can get a lot of that and then sign up for the newsletter. So if you'd like to see the more detail of what was presented tonight, that'll be online as a PDF.
The newsletter has a tremendous amount of information in it every month. It really is a great source. And Mark Anderson, well, they tell me. So, but it really is. I've seen excerpts. But the point being is, please use it as a way to substantiate, if you can, what you've heard and your questions. But again, the fallback is to call me on my cell phone. Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As you know, I'm opposed to the Wolf Bay Bridge.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to take your word for it that it's on hold for the present.
Okay. Well, what does that mean, you take my word for it?
I believe you.
Okay, well, what I'm getting at is on hold, but that doesn't mean we couldn't renegotiate or start tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I just want you to be fair.
Absolutely, okay. I agree. Okay. But I ask, the one thing I ask, one of my concerns, why I'm opposed to it, I don't think many of the people know here that that bridge is going to cost $80 million. Everything else that you propose tonight probably pales in comparison. I believe one concern I really have is the fact when it was considered that the people were not really involved. Now, I know your point. You've already said it, that the city council reviewed this and nobody showed up, and I've heard that. However, I think an issue that important, $80 million for a city of 6,000 people, $13,000 per person, that there should have been some publicity, there should have been an opportunity to object, to have the matter heard out. I only ask that you do this, that if this is resurrected, that you call a forum similar to what we have here tonight, where you have a large number of people. I venture to say there's a whole lot of people in this room that are opposed to that bridge, many more than I think you imagine.
Probably so.
And I would only ask as a secondary request that spending $80 million, a heck of a lot of money, should go to the people. Spend the money. What's it cost for a special election? Let the people decide. It takes you off the hook because if you're wrong and $80 million, we can't raise it,
right?
You're on the hook, reputation. Let the people decide. Let them decide if they want the bridge or not.
I appreciate that.
Now, I have one other point.
Well, first off, let me make something clear. I don't want to be off the hook. That's what I do. I work with the council, and we make tough decisions, and I want to address that. This bridge has been on the discussion agenda for years, and then when we raised the 2% lodging tax that over 30 years will raise $150 million, the bridge is 70. It's a very fair percentage of the estimated revenue. Specifically, that tax was raised. It was discussed over and over and over publicly to build the bridge. You nor anyone else came to the council meeting and came to the microphone and voiced any objection. So why would we spend any money, $12,000, $15,000 on a referendum when after months of discussion, No one opposed it.
You know, if I could answer that, I on occasion do go to the meetings, but unfortunately I did not. I wasn't aware. And if you ask these people in here, I think you'd find the same conclusion. The point being, an issue as great as that should have been publicized as this meeting tonight is publicized. And by the way, that 2% lodging tax, as we both know, is not required to be spent on that bridge. It goes to the general fund and can go for a lot of other improvements that this city needs. I just think it's a bad expenditure. I think when the bridge was originally proposed, it was argued that it could be a hurricane evacuation point. That's been dropped. It was argued that it could reduce traffic. That's been dropped. The whole thing with that bridge is development over there. And that, I don't think anyone can deny that gives it some thought. So I'm opposed to the bridge, and I only ask if it is resurrected, if it is looks like it's going to go, that you have a forum similar to what we have tonight. And I implore you, let the people decide. Let them spend the time. So we made a mistake. So we weren't at the council meeting. We're here tonight, and we'll vote, I guarantee it.
Thank you, Mr. McCabe. Thank you.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Certainly.
If the new bridge doesn't get built and a barge hits this one, do you still not want that bridge?
You know, we've got
It's easy to come to the mic and give your reasons of why not. And I will tell you, when we were reelected, that bridge was on the platform, and you could have not elected us. It's tough making these decisions. But this was not something that has been quietly pushed underneath. And I take really pretty heated measure for you to come sit up there and tell me it's all about development. It's about the fact that every single day as a city councilman, we get fussed at because of traffic. Every decision we make is either a kitty cat, a golf cart, or traffic. Everyone. And I know you come up here and you say it, and I respect that you come, but to come up here and ridicule it, that bridge is huge to the future of this city. It's our relief valve. When we took it into consideration, we didn't take it into consideration for development. We took it into consideration because every day we deal with traffic. For 6 years, as I've been on this council, we've widened 161 going that way. We've widened Canal Road. We've made it safer on Beach Highway. Everything we do is based on traffic. So don't come up here and accuse us of that being about development, because none of us own a damn piece of property over there, and it has nothing to do with that.
You tell me how traffic is going to be reduced by building that bridge.
It's pure volume. I mean, it's volume. If you got more people going that way that could diffuse out that way, it's less people going this way.
Let the people decide. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're not moving forward at this point in time. At the point in time, the mayor and council will talk, and then we'll have a public meeting, and we'll discuss it. But, again, I agree with Jeff. It's never been hidden. It's been out in the open. If Mr. McCabe, you know what's on the agenda every single week. So don't say that this wasn't on the agenda for discussion and you didn't know it, because that's just not true. And it bothers me. A few more points. I want y'all to think about this. That is 12,000 acres with two owners. That is impossible to find anywhere. Two owners to work with to create something that will be adjacent to us, that's something that won't be a detriment to us. If it develops hodgepodge, and it will develop, we don't know what will be over there. We don't know what height will be over there. We don't know what density will be over there. If we're involved, and it's the city of Orange Beach, we control the development on that 12,000 acres. That's important. Secondly, the Restore Act, and we've already talked about this, if we build the bridge, County Road 20 and County Road 95 will be improved. Traffic flow north and back to the expressway will improve. It will be a shorter, quicker way to Pensacola and to the east. It will be an easier way back to the expressway if you don't want to go Canal Road and over the toll, if you don't want to take the toll. There are a lot of positives. I would never, ever discount someone who doesn't support the bridge, because they're generally, they are legitimate in their position. But they got to be honest. And the biggest issue with the supporters is they don't want the view of Wolf Bay interrupted. It's all about the view. And I get that. It's the most beautiful view in the world. But again, like Jeff said, there's nobody in this room who hadn't complained about traffic. I don't know. If the bridge to the west doesn't happen, And it's not a foregone conclusion. It's not a sure thing. We still only have two lanes, and it's a toll. I don't know. There's a future here. 20 years from now, will we look back and say that it was a mistake? I don't think so, because 20 years from now, that is going to be developed. So does it develop our way and in our best interest and to our use and value, or do we let it just happen like the county does and whatever? So we are now open to that discussion anytime in the future, but I hope that everybody will entertain there's value to moving north. Personally, I don't know if anybody thought about it like this. There's nowhere on the island anymore to have an acre lot. I can't have a shop or a garage anywhere on the island. I wouldn't mind living across the bridge on a two-acre piece of property with a shop and a garage and a yard to cut and still be in Orange Beach. And there's a lot of people that think like that. I would love to be over there with all the resources that Orange Beach has to offer, but I'm sort of removed from the summer to some degree. So there's a legitimate argument both ways. And no one's right, no one's wrong. But I do take offense when it's asserted that things are being snuck in or we're just heavy-handedly moving in. That's false. That's false. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I've lived in Orange Beach now for a little bit over 16 years, and I have seen the growth of the city. And what I have seen is that we have very discrete neighborhoods, very different neighborhoods. We have in neighborhoods which are primarily residential, we have mixed use, and we have commercial and short-term rental neighborhoods. And, Mr. Mayor, if development is our destiny, as you say, when this other side of the bay is developed, we're going to have even different neighborhoods, which are going to have distinct interests. What I would offer at this time is a proposal, and I would follow it up with, I implore you to do this, would be to have a referendum to amend the city charter, to do away with the at-large status of the city council. We need to district the city. We need to have representatives who are directly responsible to those they serve and are willing to listen to the interests of those people. Bear Point is very different from the beach. East Canal, East Orange Beach, north of Canal, is very different from Captain's Cove. Everybody has a special interest and a special need. And I think that we would be better served and we would have a much more representative government if we had a councilman who would actually represent the interests. And I say this on the principle, I am not saying this in disrespect of the sitting council, but if you represent everybody, you represent nobody. And we do have to have someone who is directly accountable to those that vote for them. Thank you very much.
Well, I have a few questions. Number one, if development is not our destiny because state law and past, what is our destiny? We have to be pragmatic and realistic in what is coming.
I am echoing your words, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
Right. But I mean,
development is going to happen, like it or not.
But if someone in this room has an alternative to what is happening and is going to happen, I'm all ears.
Okay. I am not denying the fact that development is going to happen.
Okay.
What I am talking about is that development is going to bring in even greater diversity. You have talked in the past about putting or opening up to affordable housing, okay? That possibly includes rental properties. That includes apartment buildings. They are going to have different interests than those of us who live in older established neighborhoods. And I'm a resident of East Orange Beach. The situation on Canal Road and at the intersection of 161 and Canal during the summertime makes me a prisoner. I am stuck there. Sometimes it's taken me as much as an hour to get from the corner of Canal and Washington to the wharf. This is ridiculous. And so we do have certain interests.
How does a district change that or fix that?
Because at least I have a representative I can talk to.
Jerry Johnson lives in your neighborhood.
Mr. Johnson, yes, I know. I see Mr. Johnson all the time. However, not one of you individuals has had an open house. Not one of you. has said, I'm going to have a meeting where I want everybody to come and talk to me and tell me what you want. Now, I know you might say, well, it's my responsibility as an individual to contact you. No, that's your job. That is your job. You are an elected official. You are elected to represent us, and you are elected to communicate with us as to what we need. And I find this lacking.
I'm sorry. We got an election next year. That'll fix
okay.
that. So.
Thank you.
May I respond?
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you don't have the market cornered on traffic problems. I live a half mile from the Floribama. I have Floribama traffic, and for me to get to the wharf puts me through three major bottlenecks.
I'm not claiming to have the market on traffic problems. I am saying, though, that the interests in my neighborhood are somewhat unique.
Please let us.
Let me finish.
This is a discussion, ma'am. It's not. We're not here to do commentary or to preach. We're here to have a discussion. And it's got to go back and forth.
City council meetings are the first and third Tuesday of every single month. Rarely do we change the date except for holidays. Our agenda is published online. You can see in advance exactly what items are up for discussion. But this mayor and this council opens up every single meeting to any comment and any question on any topic at every single meeting. So although we are not maybe coming to your neighborhood, except that we are all out and about in all neighborhoods all the time, we do invite you to our house, and we do answer every single question you pose. Now, we may not agree on the answer,
I do want to say that our population allows us to be at large, but I challenge you to search out government where they're in districts and see what it looks like. Every district becomes a turfdom, a kingdom. It is always about their turf, and it creates dissension. We work together very well for the betterment of the big picture, not any singular neighborhood. And I'm very, very, I guess I'm still not very thick-skinned, but it bothers me that as hard as we work, as much as we are in the community, as much as we try to open up everything, there's not many other cities have town halls like this. I don't know what else we can do. But I'm not having an open house because I got three cats and a dog, and we're not keeping the house clean. So that ain't going to happen. So.
But we do have an open house the first and third Tuesday of every single month. Please come visit us.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Baldwin.
Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity to speak. We are blessed in that regard. We really are. You might wonder how you could find something else that Orange Beach does not already have after watching that presentation, but I've managed. I would like so very much to see this community have a year-round pool, and there are three compelling reasons for that: December, January, and February. A year-round pool would provide us not just the senior citizens and the other citizens who enjoy water aerobics. That would be a huge plus for me personally. But it would enable us to field a swim team, a beach community with a swim team. There are many, many, many children that simply cannot qualify for many reasons for combat. That was a slip of the tongue, people. For contact sports. These children, I know from firsthand, my own grandchildren are lucky enough to be in a community with a year-round swim team. Swimming is not a seasonal activity. It really is a year-round program, the swim team activities. We've got an ideal setup in that we already are in close proximity to the existing pool. I have no problem whatsoever with what we have. I would just like to see improvements that would allow us to serve a huge community from the youngest citizens to the very oldest. I would like to see that happen. Just to add as a footnote, the very youngest citizens that we serve at the pool can't even walk yet. Our ISR program addresses rescuing infants who fall into pools or other bodies of water. It is very impressive. The format is very simple. They teach them not to fear the water, but to turn over and float on their backs, that they really can actually do that. It is impressive by any standards. Again, it's something for everybody, but primarily for our youth. I love the idea of the physical fitness that these kids can achieve. It's impressive. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We are looking at how do we enclose a portion of the pool for aquatic therapy, aquatic rehab, aquatic aerobics. It's just there aren't a lot of options short of building another pool or building an auditorium. And Gulf Shores has an indoor pool, but they don't have an outdoor pool. So they send all their folks down to our pool in the summer to use our outdoor pool. So an auditorium is very, very expensive. I've been through that process. Not to say it's not worthy, but the expense is in the millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the expense of operation is very high relative to others. So it's part of how do we fit it into the plan? Where would we build it? Because right now we don't know how the campus, the tennis courts, and all that's going to shape out. So it's not that we're not interested, but we feel like until we know how the campus at the rec center is going to play out over time, how do we go there? So short term is how can we at least build a rehab type, aquatics aerobics type pool and get some relief. It's not, you know my background, I'm a physical therapist. I know what the water does. And but there's a lot of factors. It's not because it's not a good request, and we are looking into it. But I would never stand here and promise you we're going to do something tomorrow, because I'd be telling you a story. But yes, ma'am.
Hey, that's wonderful about the pool. Yeah, I think it's a great way for us to spend our dollars. As you know, I'm not a fan of the bridge, the Wolf Bay Bridge. I am a fan of any bridge that does a short span over the canal. I think the Wolf Bay Bridge would be much more likely to be hit by a barge, but that's neither here nor there. I think to resolve traffic problems in Orange Beach, we have to look at Orange Beach on the island and the Cross Island Parkway. What did you call it? Oh, Powerline Road. Mm-hmm. Seems like the best solution for us as far as traffic goes.
No doubt.
What can the city do and be involved in that? And what can the public do? And how can we do something to improve our chances of getting this parkway?
Well, in 2004, I actually found an old campaign thing, handout I had, and that was at the top of my list was Powerline Road. Mm. There's nothing we can do except sign the petition and hope that there's a grassroots effort that grows throughout the state, because we have a lot of people in this community that live in Birmingham and deal with the traffic, live in Montgomery, Huntsville. They have legislators. We have to have someone reach out, because until a governor says we're going to build this road, it will not get built. The governor has to take the lead and make that happen. I'm not saying the governor is right or wrong at this point, but that document was signed that there would be nothing built in 20 years. If today we got the ability or whatever was granted to build that road, we would be in federal court, and this would drag out for 10 years. That's the issue at hand. My point has constantly been, I've always thought Powerline Road was the fix. But as mayor, I have to play the cards I'm dealt. And that is not a card. That is not an ace in my hand, nor is it in the deck for me to get. We have to look at what options we have. because we can't guarantee that road will ever, ever be built. So let's just, but for argument's sake, let's just say it will never be built. What do? We only have two lanes over the canal. What do?
And what about that option of we were supposed to be able to buy that bridge at some point?
For $100 million. That's the issue is...
That's probably what this bridge is going to cost.
I mean, if you look at it, I apologize. There's no reason not to be transparent. The bridge company, there's no leverage on our part to push them to want to sell the profitable entity. It is part of a larger grouping of toll roads, so it's not a standalone entity. They would have to break it out in some way. They don't even know legally they could do that because of the way it's financed and the way it's set up or what they would want to. That bridge will never be sold. That toll will never be anything but what it is or more until there's competition. And until we drive a pylon east or west, the toll bridge will never be anything but the toll bridge is. Now, the toll bridge is not the bad guy. I want y'all, was it 1999, 2000, when that toll bridge was built, if you were here, that was the greatest thing that ever happened. Mm-hmm. That was a miracle. We had a toll bridge for a dollar that we didn't have to go all the way to Gulf Shores. Mm-hmm. So hindsight's perfect. But at that time, it was the best idea because the state was never going to build a bridge in Orange Beach, ever. That's the only way it happened. There were some mistakes made. There was no toll control. There was a lot of issues with the contract. I wish it had been addressed then. But, again, I'm not going to beat up on anybody. Mm-hmm. But please think about it. If we can't go through the park, what do we do to get more routes north? We have one choke point. And no matter how much we flow traffic on Canal and 161 in the beach, we still have a choke point if you want to go north. So pragmatically, please just take a look at it from that perspective. And we're looking at every possible option out there. The reason the city of Orange Beach would have to build the Wolf Bay Bridge is if we use federal money, it would be a 10-year project. Because it is almost impossible now to get through environmental and get through all the litigation that would possibly come because a federal project and federal money is different. Being the city of Orange Beach, we could have that bridge built and flowing traffic in about 4 years after we had the permit. From the time we get the permit, it's a 2.5-year project.
Yeah, I just see it bringing more traffic, not less.
It may.
If you're developing the North Shore, I don't understand how that decreases traffic. But that's neither here nor there. We don't need to argue about the bridge. You know, they've been talking about it since 1990. When I first moved here, they said the bridge is going to be built. So that's why I never attended any meetings, and I apologize for not being there, and I appreciate you and all of you for what you do. But there is resistance and people that would rather use that money on quality. Right. We really like some beach access with some citizen parking.
I got you.
And the pool, of course, that she was talking about, green spaces. I'm one of those people, and I know a lot of us are, that like to walk and ride their bikes. And I have to cross Canal Road and 161, and it's life-threatening every time, you know. So we'd love to see some more opportunities for improving our quality of life in that way.
We just gave you 45 minutes of stuff we're doing. I don't know
how
much more we
can do. You're doing a great
job,
and I started with that. Yeah. But, you know, I have to say, one of the reasons I was really afraid to speak is being yelled at or being, you know, criticized. So I tried to gather up myself to do this. So please stop.
I respect the opposition to the bridge. My passion was the accusation of us for development. And I'm sorry that my tone went that way.
But that was stated that was one of the reasons was for development. That's on the reasons.
We've known each other a long time.
Yes, we have.
I'm blunt and frank. I don't care who you are or what you... We open this up for education. Mm-hmm. If we just stand here and allow people to come pontificate, we don't know what you guys will walk out with as the facts. I have no intention, as long as I'm mayor, and that doesn't have to be long if y'all don't want it, but if someone comes to that podium and says something that is not true or is not factually correct, I'm going to call them on it. I'm not going to allow someone to pontificate. And if we can't have that kind of discussion, frank and blunt, then there's no reason for us to be here. That's what most politicians do. They just let people talk, nod, and say, hey, I'll get back to you on that, or we'll look into it. That's not how we work here. We're honest, and when you leave here, you may not like us, but you absolutely will know what the facts are and what the truth is. And I hope that has been beneficial to this community over the last 12 years. I just don't like being put. I've always, in some way, by a group, been painted as a bully because I challenge people that come to the podium, and that's not my intent. My intent is this is for education, for you to be able to walk out knowing what the facts are. And when someone comes to something, and y'all know if you own business or if you've been involved, if one of my employees comes to me with a problem, they know to bring solutions with them so we can have a quality discussion. Don't bring me a problem and just bring me a problem. It doesn't do anybody any good. If you come to the podium and you oppose something, I'm fine with that. But if you oppose the bridge, but you're also the same one on Facebook and everywhere else opposing and griping about the traffic, and you don't have an alternative to fix the traffic, then what good have you done? That's all I'm asking, is work with us to come up with solutions. And all I'm saying is Powerline Road is not an option today for us. Whether the grassroots efforts makes a difference, changes, I don't know. But it's not an option. So what do? We have to look for options. We find options, and we throw them out there, and we pick the best option we can. But everybody in here wants traffic fixed. So if you oppose something, just please offer an alternative. Give me some relief. Give us some relief. We'd appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor and Council, we haven't fun yet.
Sir?
Are we having fun up there yet?
Yes.
You know I am.
I'd like to just talk a little about the golf carts.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and bring a... I know you're in the middle of developing your ordinance, but we live on Marino Road, okay? And we use that golf cart and to go. Fishers, Tacky Jacks, all over the place, just like everybody else does down in Bear Point. The point is that we moved to Orange Beach about 6 years ago, and I always wanted a golf cart, okay?
We get it. I understand completely. I want one.
All right.
So I just can't find a deal.
But I didn't buy one because I'm not mechanically inclined. So now we have a new business on Canal Road that sells golf carts, and he services golf carts. He'll come to your house. So when I found that out, and I'm not good with mechanics, I bought a golf cart. And now with what I learned tonight, and I also called the city, asked police, was there any existing ordinance? If this would have come out 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have bought the golf cart until you did your ordinance. The problem is Marina Road is 35 miles an hour, okay? And you're saying you can't go on the sidewalks. That's what everybody uses right now. I have a street legal, 25 miles. So basically everybody that lives on Marina Road and there's a bunch of golf carts in that whole area, they're useless. They can't go anywhere based on what you're proposing. So I'm just asking you to consider different areas.
Well, we're not proposing anything. The state law has already dictated what we have to do. We don't want to do it. I don't want you not to be able to get on a sidewalk, I promise you, on Marina Road. But people are now calling saying, can I take my golf cart from Bear Point to the Tiki? And they want me to say yes, is what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. But if I say yes and they get a ticket or there's an accident, but the mayor said yes, well, I can't tell you it's okay to break the law. So be careful asking questions you don't want the real answer to, is what I tell folks. But my point is everywhere we see the opportunity to create a golf cart path, Marina Road may be one because it's a city street. That may be something we can do. We may be able to come in and widen that to 10 feet and declare it a golf cart path. That's what we're going to do. I promise you, we're going to attack this in every way we can to create arteries for golf carts to go anywhere they want to go. But 3 weeks ago, if you'd have known this, you wouldn't have bought a car.
Well, that's correct.
6 weeks ago, the person that bought a car, if hadn't known it, and 6 months ago, you see what I'm saying? It's just to the point now we're forced to have to deal with it when all we've done is try to live and let live. So it's almost darned if you do, darned if you don't kind of thing. But I promise you, Marina Road is one of those arteries that we need to see how we can make that work. And we're going to look into it everywhere.
When do you...
Sir? Well, but you'd be on a golf cart path. You wouldn't be on the road. Yeah, well, good luck with reducing it to 25.
Yeah. When do you think you'd come up with your ordinance?
I don't know. So until then, can't say that.
All right, thanks.
So, but believe me, I understand your grief. We're going to work. We're going to try to help you. Chief, what are you thinking?
Can you hear me? Anybody can't hear me?
Do we want to
Mayor,
hear you?
State your name,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you know you want to. Alan McElroy, 4688 Walker Avenue. Listen, Mayor, I've known you probably 20 years. You've come a long way. You're doing great. Keep it up. I voted for you and every one of you on the council because I think you're doing your best to do what's right. I'll monitor what you do. And for those of you who don't want the Wolf Bay Bridge or whatever, I don't care where the bridge is put, but we had 6.6 million people that visited this area last year. It's going to be more this year. Mr. McCabe, if you have a hurricane come up, how you going to get these people off this island? That's something you might need to think about. We have things to come up and happen to us all the time down here that's unplanned. And you guys are doing a good job to look at it and plan the best you can. This is not a dime store. It's a multi-million dollar business. And I think y'all are doing a great job in it. And I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
I think I'll pay you that 20, oh, yeah, Alan.
First of all, thank you all for putting this on tonight. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
And when we look at the slides, all the work you're doing and have planned, it's very admirable. I'm here about the golf carts. I live in, we have several residents here, or we're here. I live in the Mariner Lakes area, made up of three communities along Loop Road. We have 193 individual homeowners there, most predominantly golf cart operators. And I guess what we're looking for at this point is clarification. A lot of our folks, perhaps like use the pharmacy at Publix, are they allowed to, say, go behind Rouse's and stay on private property?
Hey, remember, you're asking a question you probably don't want to hear the answer to.
So what you're suggesting is I sit down.
Pick your poison, you know.
Okay. Well, only thing, let me just wrap up with this, and that's regarding Powerline Road and the golf carts. Remember the carbon footprint that we're removing.
That's right.
That if we've got to go to Publix in our neighborhood, we have to do at least two U-turns. 193 residents have to get out on Loop Road
and
do multiple U-turns while we can go in an electric golf cart in 5 minutes and leave no emissions.
So what you're saying is Powerline Road will undo the damage we've done to the environment on the U-turns.
I'm
is
all
right?
for
I'm
saving
with
the environment, and I'm going to sit down and not ask any more questions.
Yeah, please, y'all state your names, if you would, for the record, so
that
we
was,
know where you live.
That was Jim. I miss you, Jim.
Great. I promise not to be bad. Do I have to state my name?
We're not
no,
mad either.
Okay. Bill Oaks. I live in Bear Point. A couple things. First, I'll say there's an alternative to golf carts. It's called a bicycle, and it doesn't create any carbon.
But let me ask you, do you know bicycles are illegal on a sidewalk, too?
But there's a bike path. I ride on it. It works.
I'm telling you, we looked into it.
I know. Okay.
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking to Bill over here. He's nodding his head. No, you don't know what you're talking about, Tony. So anyway.
I've been told by planning that is not true.
Well, they told you a story.
But not motorized.
No. Sidewalk, federal grant sidewalks. The width is not sufficient. That's why you can't have a bike on it.
That's
so it's
why
a 4 foot,
that,
not 6 foot, 8 foot, or 10 foot.
That's why you have that crazy bike lane out on 182 that everybody wonders who in the world rides in it.
That solves all of our bike problems right there. So we're not blaming you. We know that was a federal regulation. We get that. We get it. You know, it's really funny. In all the years, I've learned two things. Don't mess with the garden club, and don't go to Bear Point unless you're invited. So I've learned that. Let me tell you.
So
go ahead.
Back after Ivan, we had some meetings in the city council that discussed making Bear Point a little bit nicer, street lamps, street signs, removing the overhead electrical lines, which we've all paid for in our normal EMC bills. There's been a lot of development out there lately. What's wrong with at least making EMC or the city requiring somehow that underground electrical have to go to the new homes that are being built?
Do we not?
All right.
Get somebody, get Kit. Kit will have your answer for you.
I believe ultimately, hi, I'm Kit Alexander. I'm the community development director. There has been discussion about going underground at Bear Point, and the southern side of Bear Point is not an issue. It's when we start getting to the north side of Bear Point, when we start getting down to elevations of 2, 3, 4, that's problematic with regard to the special flood hazard zones and bearing lines and the transformers. You end up with elevated transformers. I do believe that there will eventually be underground lines at Bear Point, but we have to work out that issue. And I think the decorative lights would be outstanding in Bear Point. I think that's something that I think council would hold in priority. But we still have some work to do with regard to the potential for flooding in Bear Point because of those elevations.
Okay. I appreciate that. And have consideration for the upper areas on the north side. I mean, there's a lot of area there that is about the flood zone, if things can be addressed there.
Yes, and we have a grid that runs north-south, and so it gets problematic when you're underground, then you're above ground. But it's definitely something that needs to be considered, and we do need to work it out. Yeah.
And let me expound upon the $5 surcharge. It doesn't go near as far as you would think it goes. And the way that works is the way we get the biggest bang for our buck is that when EMC is having to do repair, upgrade, or retrofit whatever on some power line somewhere, we get an economy if we go underground. Because the amount they charge that it would have cost them to repair it is deducted from what it costs to go underground. So we go where they generally are looking to upgrade their current lines in place. Now, that's not – there are exceptions to that, but that's generally how those dollars are spent.
Okay.
And as far as the Bear Point, what we like – is for homeowners association to come together and then make a request of the city of anything you want in your area. It's very difficult when individuals come and say, hey, we want street lights, we want this. It's we need your homeowners association to come as a unified body and make this request on behalf of the community. And then in most cases, we try to jump on it.
Okay.
Can I mention one more thing with regard to undergrounding? We did receive... for those of you on the east side of East Orange Beach, you all do have the undergrounding of your electric service and those lovely decorative lights. When they did the East Orange Beach subdivision, there was a section that was left out on the west side. We received quite a few concerns, complaints from persons that lived on the west side, and it was brought to the attention of the mayor. The mayor did then follow up with Baldwin EMC, and they do have it in the queue that I think within the year they will be going underground with the westerly side of East Orange Beach subdivision. So, yes, when you get with your POA and you provide that to the mayor, then the mayor gets that communication, then that's something he can follow through on, and he does have that communication. So please do communicate with – you can go through me, and I can communicate with the mayor.
And they are engineering that from the area of Washington Boulevard westward around that, I call it a peninsula, back out to Canal Road. So that'll finish out that section that Kit's describing. So that's being engineered now.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask for is along Canal Road, as we're doing improvements to the Canal Road, major places that get traffic, Marina, Sportsman's Marina, Tiki, the condominiums and stuff like that, if there could be deceleration lanes that have to be required or be installed while we're doing that improvement, it would really improve the traffic flow on Canal. Just an idea.
Well, we are three-laning to Wilson.
Yeah, but...
But beyond that...
All those places are past that.
Well, to some degree, it gets into right-of-way issues and cost. But decel lanes make perfect sense in places, and I agree with you, and that is something we ought to evaluate. Sportsman... I agree, and we'll look into that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Helen Clark. I live in Orange Beach. I have two questions. One is there a plan to put a bicycle lane from 161 up to the wharf?
161 and then down canal?
Down canal to the wharf.
There's going to be a shoulder, but there's no right-of-way. We essentially have eaten up all the right-of-way to get five lanes. We're going to have to acquire right-of-way and make some changes to be able to get the sidewalk that we were talking about from essentially at the end of the service road to Cypress Village. But everything goes back to the dam effect and drainage. A sidewalk from docks to the wharf is a $3 million venture. Very, very expensive. So it is on our list of things to evaluate, and if we do it partially or if we can use the service road as part of that connectivity, we're going to try to do it. We may close off some of the ingress, egress off of Canal Road onto that service road and limit it to certain places that you go in and out. So it's on our list. We really are looking at it, truthfully.
How about, because I know there's bike lanes up to the Sportsplex, and further, is there any way to have a way to get to the wharf on your bike? You know, like let's say if I can connect, mm-hmm. if I can get on from behind City Hall,
yeah.
and then up that way.
The issue where they is anywhere you have a crosswalk, you impede significantly the flow of traffic. So if we put a crosswalk at William Silver's at the red light, and all they got to do is mash a button, we could not move traffic in the summer. Because anytime somebody wanted to cross, it would have to stop. And we just got it rolling, and boom. It would absolutely destroy our ability to move traffic down Canal Road in the summer.
As you know, we have a lot of bicycle riders in Orange Beach.
And we have a lot of traffic.
Yeah. And it slows the traffic down because we don't have the ones that aren't riding on the sidewalk, maybe because they know they're not supposed to. Now I don't know what to do. But the ones that ride along the side of the road, you know, it's scary to be either one.
That goes back to what is more important, a crossing for the number of bikers that would use it or the impediment to moving traffic in the summer. We have to defer to moving traffic. And remember, we've put tons of money into almost 20 miles of backcountry trails mm-hmm. for people to ride bikes on. Mm-hmm. They can pretty much get to those trails from anywhere in the city. The number of people crossing from there to go to the wharf, I don't know how many that would be, but with all that we've got available for bikers to impede traffic just for the convenience of a few to go to the wharf, that doesn't make practical sense for me. And y'all may have a different opinion of that.
Well, I just wish that we didn't have to defer and deal with it, that this couldn't be the sort of community where we could do both, because I've seen those. But I understand the budget problems and the right-of-way problems. But it'd be wonderful to have one of those really wide legal lanes where you could have bicycles, dog walkers, and golf carts and everybody, you know.
Yeah. If we had the ability to do that, we would do that.
Okay. And I have one other question, which might be more for the police department, but you know that new Alabama ruling about how long you can stay in the passing lane, you know, without getting back over? And I tried to look it up to find out what kind of roads does this apply to, and it said interstates and highways. Well, does that apply to 59? Does it apply to Canal Road? Does it apply to 161 Beach Road?
I've made it my mission to eliminate people driving slow in the left lane.
Good luck.
Promise you. So, but the point being is, it's difficult. And I don't have the answer to your question, Chief. Do you?
Okay.
Okay.
I made it my mission to slow the mayor down.
All right.
Once you mentioned state highways, Highway 59, all the main arteries in Orange Beach are state highways. That's been dubbed the road rage law as well, or the anti-road mm-hmm. rage law. It's so people do not loiter in the left lane, and it's utilized primarily for passing or for preventing people, as I'm sure many of you have experienced, when you get in the left lane and somebody... we'll just say on Perdido Beach Boulevard, State Highway 182, is doing about 35 miles per hour in that 45, and you're trying to find a way to get around them. So that's basically the intent of the law, is to push that traffic over so people can do the speed limit.
Well, I understand that. I understand where it applies well to things like the Beach Express interstates, where there's not a lot of in-and-out people that aren't familiar with the area, like on the Beach Road, trying to find where they're supposed to turn left. So they don't want to be on the right side, because they know it's going to be on the left side somewhere, but they're not real sure because it's dark time. And so it does apply here.
In short, yes, ma'am, it does.
So if everybody followed that ruling, then everyone's going to be in the right lane, and the traffic's not going to be a whole lot better. And I was hoping that the answer would be it only applies to, you know, the Beach Express and so forth.
Well, if you're doing 30 miles an hour in the left lane in a 50-mile-an-hour zone, you need to be in an Uber. I mean, you don't need to be driving. If you can't drive the speed limit and be considerate of all those others that are trying to get where we get, because most of us still work for a living, I have a problem with that. You know, that is truly inconsiderate. So
Right. But it's all the people moving back and forth is going to be dangerous as well. And not just the people, you know, going around and back. It's
Look, traffic, as the mayor's pointed out, right, in the summer, weather conditions, other road impediments, those types of things are also going to dictate the speed of traffic. We may not be able to do the speed limit. Mm-hmm. Just strictly on Canal Road, any Friday afternoon in the summer, nobody's doing over 5 miles an hour.
Right.
And that's
right.
50. So, you know, sometimes, although there's not a left lane eastbound, mm-hmm, I'm trying to make a point there that sometimes the road situations will dictate the speed. Mm-hmm. But basically, as the mayor has stated, this is kind of my opinion, the state's effort to legislate civility and mutual respect amongst all of us to get out of the left lane,
right,
and let the people,
right,
who want to drive the speed limit by.
Right. Well, I appreciate your answer, and you did answer my question. I just wasn't sure what level roads had applied on.
Let me add this to that, too.
Yeah.
And I know way too much about traffic. A speed limit on a certain roadway is a speed limit because it's generally the most efficient way to move traffic at the safest level. If you have a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, you can expect to move so many cars per unit, whatever. If they're not doing the speed limit, your efficiency goes way down. If we're not doing the speed limit on Canal Road, our efficiency goes way down. One car doing 35 can totally back everybody up and then catch a series of lights, throws our lights out of kilter. The other thing that drives me crazy, that makes it very difficult, is what I call the slinky effect. It's when we have a line of folks lined up at a light, the light turns green, this car goes, this car's sitting there on their phone talking, there's a giant gap, then they go. Then there's a giant gap, and it just stretches out. Mm-hmm. That's why we have such a backlog from Guff Bay back, is because of the slinky effect. Once we get through Guff Bay, they don't stop again. They all get up to speed. We start moving well. The slinky effect kills our ability to move traffic, mm-hmm, on the major arteries as well. So much of our frustration is not just out of our desire to get somewhere, it is truly out of the practical aspect of moving a volume of traffic. So people need to do the speed limit. Please, that's all.
Oh, I don't speed.
No,
I'm
no.
Just concerned about some people that I know. Thank you.
Chief, didn't the law read that if you don't pass someone within a mile and a half, then you can get a ticket?
Yes.
I think I read it last. That's what I read last
Yes,
time.
Sir, I believe so.
I think you get in the right or left lane within a mile and a half in most cases here. But thank you for asking. I think it's a really good point, and we do have that issue a lot.
Mr. Robertson, can you elevate this discussion?
Definitely not. Definitely not. I was watching YouTube videos of Flint, Michigan council meetings. It's pretty damn boring. But I've learned a lot here today. I will say that I just got back from Breckenridge, Colorado, with a daughter and father trip last night, and I love Orange Beach traffic now. That's a little tourist city. It's not even in season yet, and it's backed up. So every little city has a problem, and I'm glad that you guys, you know, you're talking about the bridge of this. I don't know. Tax the tourists, let them pay for it. I don't care what you do. That's what they did to me in Breckenridge. And as long as we don't have to pay for it, go for it. I mean, come on, imagine, you know, we could be living right down the road in a bankrupt city, Pritchard or anything, and to have the city almost paid for, I think that's a wonderful thing. I mainly come up here, I'm not trying to kiss your ass or anything, but I'm not the chief if I need a speeding ticket. But I mainly come up here to talk about the golf cart. If anyone's interested, I have a 2012 green one for sale. I let it go cheap. No, I love the golf cart. I love getting on it and going down to Tiki and getting a bit, something to eat, a soft drink. But, you know, I do understand the laws. I hate it. I do understand the law, and I understand it's a liability issue, and the city could get sued. The law's already in place, and I realize you guys have gone above and beyond what you have to do. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it, but I do understand it. My question is about the law states, even with the lights and all that, you're still not going to be able to drive them at night. Is that what I heard?
That's what the law says.
That's what the law says. Okay.
The mayor said, don't ask the question. You don't want the answer, sir.
But I just saying what the law, I couldn't remember what that said. But if anybody's interested, can contact me after long from my golf cart. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I just suggest you improve your relationship with the police chief. You know, guys, we do live and let live. Priorities for our police department is to enforce the law, but it's not to enforce golf cart laws at the expense of doing what we should be doing as police officers. I hope that makes sense. So we have a lot of things in this city that needs dealing with by our police department besides golf carts. So,
yeah. My name is Dave Nielsen. I'm on Canal Road. One more thing on golf carts.
I got all night. I'm fine with this. I'd rather get it over with tonight.
Is there a real official description of what a golf cart is? Because most of what are used on the streets around here would never be allowed on a golf cart, on a golf course, because they don't have tread tires.
Yeah.
But as soon as there's a decision as to what it is, somebody's going to design something that's just a little bit less, so they can go on the sidewalk or go someplace else. So either it's by size or motor or something that will have to be defined, because you can buy very small personal vehicles for handicapped, and they look a little bit like a golf cart, but they aren't really. So it'll have to be defined some way.
And I get that, but I have no idea how we would do that. I have no earthly idea. How long it can be, how wide it can be, how fast it can go, how tall it. I don't know how you would do that. I guess what we would say is, let's go with the norm at this point in time, and at the juncture that it becomes an issue that we're starting to see 45-mile-an-hour golf carts on a sidewalk or a cart path, then we got a problem. We're going to deal with that. So
you'll probably just see signs that say this is not a golf cart.
I understand where you're coming from, because the market will dictate what will be bought, or what will be bought will dictate the market. Forgive me. And that is something we have to pay attention to, is behavior on the golf cart paths has to be civil. You got to give way. You need to give way to pedestrians. We have to pay attention to bikers. And you can't be weaving and doing anything that would be construed as reckless in a golf cart. That will get you in trouble now. So, and kids, that's going to be something we have to deal with, whether we like it or not. The number of young children, I'm talking about seven, eight, nine years old, on golf carts on city streets has become significant. And we know it will be a matter of time before there's a tragic accident if we don't do something. Yes, ma'am. Good to see you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tracy Stark, and I am a very proud teacher at Orange Beach Middle School. And over the past few weeks, we were talking about our branches of government, and some of my students were happy to be here this evening. And we wrote thank you letters to you all, to thank you so much for the support that you've given us. And our children want to, I'm going to present them to you on their behalf.
So is it okay if I come up there?
That means a lot.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It's very special. Okay. Going once. Anybody? You better run. Oh, sorry, time. Okay. Go to the microphone. Go to microphone. Yes, sir.
You want to go first?
No.
I'm Steve Taylor, and
I'm not ready for Cecil yet. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Had a quick question. Sounds like the city is doing great financially, and you also talked about planning for the future, and you know that's come some of your reasoning behind maybe eventually building a bridge over Wolf Bay. Has the city considered trying to buy some of beachfront property and turning it into a park or a public beach? Gulf Shores has public beach. Orange Beach has no beach of its own. And it might be expensive, but 20 years from now, it might be one of these things that has paid off because it's going to be gone. It's also a way you talked about how we can't stop the development. We can't stop building permits. But if we could buy some of this beachfront property, there's not that much left. That would prevent a condo from being built there. So
we have investigated and looked into it. $4,000 to $40,000 a linear foot. Cost almost comes prohibitive to buy enough property to actually and build a parking lot. You essentially eliminate the ability to do a fire station here. If you look at Gulf Shores property and put the number on what that would be worth today, what you'd have to spend, it just wouldn't work.
But they're improving that, too. I mean, they're spending a lot of money. I know they've had that property for a long time.
And that's why they're in debt and we're not.
Improving it. But I'm also saying, is it almost worth going into debt a little bit to acquire some beachfront property for the future?
That's just something I would like for y'all
to consider, and I don't know if y'all really talked about it that much. I know it's very expensive.
Let me ask you this. I certainly can't
afford any.
Let me ask you this. Again, I think we try to base decisions on the 80-20 Pareto's Law. We try to serve 80% of the people. The 20% that are outliers, we do what we can for them and the 10. If we spent $40, $50 million on a big enough piece of property to put a parking lot and literally have beachfront, you're talking about 7 or 8 weekends out of the year that it might be used to any degree, because today Cotton Bayou, 45 weekends out of the year, there's parking places there. So when you look at the cost versus the effective use of it, to me it doesn't make financial sense. What bothers me a little bit, and this is when I get aggravated with the State Department of Conservation and with the feds, we've offered to continue to try to expand Cotton Bayou. We've offered to try to improve Shell parking lot down there by Carib because there's 100-plus acres right there of beachfront, but they won't let us, and the beach mouse won't let us. And for us, that is by far, I think, the most efficient way to create usable beach space at a very fair price.
But
so,
Steve, we did partner with the state park years ago, and I don't know that you had moved down here yet, about 2004, 2005. We partnered with
them. I moved here in 1992.
Well, do you recall we had portalets out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say Cotton Bayou access, okay? Portalets. So we partnered with them. We helped clean those restrooms. We helped actually financially supported building those restrooms and such like that. And that's where the mayor was leading into. So,
I just hate for it to all be gone. And 20 years from now, 30 years from now,
I get it.
My grandchildren or whoever, and it's all condominiums. It's
right.
All condos.
I get it.
And we own, we're a beachfront town that doesn't own any beachfront property.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy. And I know it's expensive.
Yeah.
But
we have looked at it. I mean, where you remember when Evangeline and Grace were going to go, where Nathan Cox and Venture 68 right at the T at 161 would be an ideal place because
right.
we would try to prevent some of the traffic there and flow. We looked at the cost of it. And then we had to analyze. We have a state park. We did spend money at the bridge to redo that whole project because so many people wanted to use it and couldn't. And then we have the state park property across. And it's a juggling act. It's something that's been discussed many times. And we've really in-depthly looked at it. But it's hard to justify for us to go spend $50 or $60 million on a piece of property and then the improvements and then the upkeep.
Right.
When you kind of go, where do we spend it elsewhere? And it's just a juggling act.
And, I mean, a lot of the stuff you've talked about is planning for the future, and that's where I guess I'm headed. You know, that's I've already said. You know, I would like to think about that. So I know it's very expensive now, but 20 years from now, we might be, you know, we'll be very glad that we did it. So it's just something I would like for y'all to consider.
I don't think it's not, again, a valid but with our limited number of dollars to buy piece big enough to actually, but again, if you go right around and look at Cotton Bayou and Romar.
Well, we're becoming more and more year round and you know.
Yeah. I just, I don't, we would have to give other things
up. It's 90 degrees outside.
It would become truly, we would have to give other things up that directly.
Okay. I understand.
And again, and I'm not arguing. I just
no, I'm not arguing either. I know it's a very expensive thing, but I just would like for it to be something that y'all consider to or continue to consider in the future before it's all gone.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it is a good question, and thank you for that.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Howdy.
I wasn't going to do it, but I just I wanted to tell you guys, you know, I watched a documentary not too long ago. It was a historical documentary, and it covered about 100 years, and there was change in that. And at first they fought the change, but then back looking down the road, looking back, the change was inevitable, but it was good too. So I just want to tell you guys how much I personally appreciate everything that you guys are doing. I told somebody, well, I've said it several times. I said, the next time I move, I'm going to have six buddies carry me. And so I love living in Orange Beach. I don't think there's a better place anywhere that I could raise a family. The school, man, just unbelievable. The backcountry trails, everything that you got, the wharf, the concerts, it seems like there's something for everybody here. There is some traffic, but you go to the grocery store early when that happens. So... but on another note, you're talking about golf carts and what have you, and I understand, too, the danger in that and what you're trying to do to protect everybody and keep everything safe. And so a big shout-out and a hand to our police department, our fire department, and the work that they do, and you guys, very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, it's really funny, and this may sound silly, but I want y'all to know, 9 out of 10 people that walk in my office are not telling me how good a job I'm doing. I promise you. But when you hear kind words for all of us, it does matter. It does make a difference because we do hear the folks that aren't happy. So feel free to say something nice. But go ahead, Cecil. I know it ain't going to happen from you, but go ahead.
Now, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice tonight.
Where's your wife? Is she here?
She's here. That's why I'm going to be nice.
She's coming. Okay.
No.
Thank God she's here.
I want to tell you all about the first time I ever came to Orange Beach, Alabama. You're not going to believe this. 70 years ago, I came across the old wooden bridge to get to Orange Beach. I went down to 59, down to the hangout when I was young, just out of the service in 47, 40. But I came with my wife, and my father-in-law made us get out of the car to go across the bridge to get over to Orange Beach, so down to Romar. So that is how I got, first time I ever came to Orange Beach, Alabama. But we talk about traffic. Our biggest problem is the Gulf State Park. Everything happens around them. We can't build a road or anything. But now they closed 35, so you can't get through. And now 135 is closed for remodeling. They remodeled it 2-3 times. So the people down this way have to go all the way into Gulf Shores to go out 59. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you all how the first time I got to Orange Beach, And it was a wonderful, I was in love.
Well, we know your wife is up for sainthood, so. But, you know, the other, I don't want to make light of traffic, but where would you want to live where there was no traffic? And I can't imagine, again, having been here in the days when there was no traffic, everybody in this room's head would pop off because no Tiki, no Publix, none of that. And it's all a trade-off, and we got traffic. But for that traffic, we got a lot of good things out of the frustration. So we do the best we can. Hey, Mr. Tamper.
How you doing? I just wanted to mention one thing about the Romar Beach Road. Keep the pressure on. Because I'll tell you a little story. A few years back when I was on the council, we had a committee to try to open up Catman Road through the park. We went there, and they said, I hate to say this because he was a friend of mine, Hugh Branion said, the state will never open that up again for pedestrians or bicycles. Now, look how nice that is there. And it's named after him now. And so don't ever give up on that Romar Beach Road, because that'll solve all the problems in this town.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I want you to know, we haven't given up, but we truly believe a grassroots effort is what it's going to take to move that needle or move the football. Mm-hmm. We can't make it happen. We can help, but we got to have people pushing. And until that, like I said, it can happen, but it's not going to. So I'm hoping that there's a petition out there. There's several petitions that people are trying to get going. I'm going to sign it. I'll sign it. First one to sign it. So let's just see where it goes. But if anybody knows, you know, Mr. Tamper. You've been here.
And as far as a beachfront property, I kind of agree with trying to buy beachfront property. I know there's a lot of problems with it. But I'll tell you a little story about myself. In 1963, my daddy gave me a 100-foot plot on the Gulf of Mexico. The value of the gift was $6,000. 20 years later, I sold it for $2 million. And it's going to keep going. When there's nothing there, it's going to go sky high. So I don't think it's a bad investment. But, I mean, I know there's other considerations because I talked to you about it before. Yeah. So that's all.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate the job y'all are doing.
And thank you for your service to the city.
And Cecil, we appreciate you too, buddy. We appreciate you, buddy. Really do. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. It's past bedtime. Well, again, thank y'all for being here. And I do hope you know, guys, we don't want to be combative or argumentative, but we really do want the facts to come out and it to be a discussion, not just a lecture. So thank y'all. Call me if you need me.
Thank you.